One.
Okay, you're coming through good. Can you hear me okay?
One, two, yeah, three, 4,002.
Hello, Sister Linda. Thank you all for your patience. We were just finishing a show. And, yeah. Folks, we are continuing with the marathon. That was Prophet Scott Lathrop of Soulbait Ministries. Now we're going to Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, and it's an honor to have on, from the Prophecy Hour, Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of Messiah's Branch, the Prophecy Hour radio show. Brother Dan, Sister Linda, welcome back, and would you like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Sure thing. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, we thank you for all things. Father, we thank you for this night to be able to be on radio to celebrate this Israel being back in its land. So we just thank you for all things. Father, we ask that you bless this program tonight, that whatever comes out by you and not by us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight and open up the ears to the people so they might hear. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
You know, I say amen to that. And speaking of Israel, I want to connect you with a friend. We've known each other for about 10 years. His name is Prophet Scott Lathrop. He's with Soulbait Ministries. I will make a connection. You ought to consider bringing him on Prophecy Hour. He just got back from Israel, and he's got some amazing testimony. Love to get him on your program. Brother Dan, Sister Linda, you all have been doing radio for a very long time, and you continue to this day to have some of the best shows out there. It's amazing the guests you've had over the years, and you continue to get. Keep up the good work. But for those that may be hearing us for the first time tonight, tell people about your radio show and how they can tune into it.
Okay, first off, I started doing radio in 2002 when I was called to go against a false prophet, R.G. Stair. I started out on shortwave. We was there for about 2 years, and then in 2004, I started doing most of that was just preaching and things like that on the radio and, you know, doing a lot of things against Stair, helping to bring him down. But anyway, in 2004, we went to American Voice. We were invited to be on American Voice Radio, and we've been on American Voice Radio since 2004. And at that time, I started doing radio interviews with people that, you know, about Bible prophecy, end times, and current events. Somewhere during all that time, I seem to have found my way in good graces by a blessing of the Father, but I found my way in the good graces of various publishers like WorldNet Daily and others that that would send me books. People like Jonathan Kahn's book, The Harbinger, just as a small example, Joel Richardson, and others. That they would send me their books, and I'd read their books, and I'd decide whether I wanted to interview them, and I still do that to this day. And also, I had gained from the Prophecy Club a lot of contacts over the years because I helped Stan Johnson out, you know, at the Prophecy Club, in which we still remain good friends. And by the way, Stan's getting ready to go to Malaysia to minister the first time out of the country in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Him and his wife, they're flying to Malaysia. So anyway, we'll be praying for him.
Wow.
But so we've been doing this for, you know, for a while. I've gained a lot of contacts, and, you know, it's all of the Father. He decided to use foolish things like me to confound the world because, you know, I'm an ex-outlaw biker, and, you know, we were in the world together. My wife and I, we were of the same time. And, you know, we're just not your normal suit and tie type people, but yet I interview some of the biggest names in Bible prophecy. Where can they find it? Prophecy, where do they find us, Mom?
Prophecyhour.com.
Prophecyhour.com. And by the way, everybody calls me Dad and her Mom because of the mission church and everything. And so, if you hear me, my wife's real name is Linda. And I'm Daniel, but, you know, it's mostly Dad and Mom or Pastor Dan and Sister Linda. But prophecyhour.com. Back to you for a minute.
Well, that's exciting. And I heard you correctly, Stan Johnson and Leslie are coming to Malaysia?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I've been to Malaysia 15 times, and only because they only give you 3 weeks visa when you get into Indonesia. So I came very well acquainted with Kuala Lumpur. It's a great place over there, and that's amazing. It's only 3 hours away by plane. Well, what a small world. I know that they'll have a good time over there, especially if they get to the Kuala Lumpur area. Very nice city. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight, everybody. Welcome aboard. We're streaming Pastor Dan, Sister Linda, almost entirely now on YouTube. And I find it's a good way to get the word out. There's fresh people that can get exposed to us all the time that come into YouTube, unlike MixLR, which we still use. But if you are wondering out there, folks, where the chat room is on MixLR, I closed it down, and I've opened it up over here on YouTube. So I encourage everybody to spread the word that the way to tune in now is right here on YouTube. Just type in Omega Man Radio. And if you're on Facebook, do us a favor. Share a link with someone and let them know that we've got the Prophecy Hour on right now. Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin coming to you from Wichita, Kansas. So with that, I'm going to turn the mic over to y'all. What do you got for tonight?
Okay. I've got a real lead into this, but before I do that, let's correct something. We're in the Flint Hills of Kansas. Our mission church is in Wichita, Kansas, and we're, as another person says, that he says we're in an undisclosed location. No, not necessarily, but we are in the Flint Hills of Kansas, and that's 60 miles from our mission church. But anyway, let's do it like this.
I was beginning to wonder here a little bit ago. I thought we was wherever Noah took the ark.
Yeah, all the flooding. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's go like this. I got a lead in I want to get to, and we'll do it like this. Okay, Isaiah 66:8 says, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Wednesday evening, May 8, 2019, Israel celebrated its 71st anniversary by the Hebrew calendar of the modern state of Israel. On that day, 71 years ago, the world saw an actual miracle from Yahweh. After almost 1,900 years, the Jewish people, who never totally left the land given to them by Yahweh, once again had political control over their country. Once again, the Jewish people were able to establish a political and geographic nation state for the Jewish people in their ancestral homeland as Israel declared her independence. On the day of its Declaration of Independence, May 14, 1948, the Jewish population of Israel numbered 806,000 people. On the eve of Israel's 71st Independence Day, the population of Israel now numbers 9.21 million, 6.69 million Jews, and 1.89 million Arabs. There's also 434,000 of others. predicted on Israel's 100th Independence Day, its population will reach 15.2 million. Israel's indeed having a rebirth. You see, since the 2018 Independence Day, the population of Israel has just in this year, listen to this, the population of Israel increased by 177,000. And then during that period, 188,000 babies were born and 31,000 Jews arrived from the nations. The prophet said Yahweh would bring the Jews back from the east and the west to their homeland, Israel, and that this would be able to live in the city of Jerusalem once again. Zechariah 8:7 says,
"This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God."
Yahweh. Yeah. In 1967, they gained Jerusalem back once again. It is prophesied in the Bible that the Messianic era, the nations will restore their love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Indeed, a worldwide movement is just beginning in which Christians from all over the world have awakened to their Hebrew roots and have chosen to stand in solidarity alongside the people, the land, and Yahweh of Israel. More Christians are rejecting replacement theology, the idea that Yahweh's covenant with the Jewish people has been replaced with Christians, and they're indeed embracing their Hebrew roots through various means. The nations are starting to embrace Torah and realize that what Paul said, that we are grafted into them and have not replaced them. Praise Yahweh and his son Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us all embrace the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
In Amos 9:11-13, the prophet of Yahweh would restore the land of David. King David ruled Israel from about 1010 B.C. to about 970 B.C. The land of David, Israel, was conquered and destroyed by the Babylonians, Assyrians, and Romans. The land has been in ruin for as much as the past 2,000 years. The Jews, who had been scattered throughout the world, began to return in large numbers during the past 100 years. Since then, they have been rebuilding many of Israel's ancient cities. Amos also said that there would be continuous planting and harvesting. During the past 100 years, the Jews have been using advanced farming and irrigation techniques to turn barren land into productive farmland. Today, Israel is a source of food for many countries. In that day, I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be. The days are coming, declares Yahweh, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all of the hills.
In Isaiah 41:18-20, the prophets talk of the future restoration of Israel coincides with the occurrence of modern Israel. The construction of a vast irrigation system to improve farming, the lack of available water, including rain, is one reason why Israel has been desolate and unproductive land since much of the past 2,000 years. Yahweh kept the land for them. When they left the land, in the most part, he kept it. Nothing worked there until the Jews returned. But during the 1900s, when many Jews returned to their ancient homeland, they built a network of irrigation systems. And during the past century, more than 200 million trees have been planted in Israel.
In Isaiah 41:18-20, it says, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrrh, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set pines in the wastelands, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the land of the Lord has done this, and that the hand of the Lord has done this, and that the Holy One of Israel has created it.
Isaiah said Israel's fruit would fill the world. In Isaiah 26:6, it says, in days to come, Jacob will take root, Israel will bud and blossom and fill the world with fruit. The prophet said Israel will one day blossom and fill the world with fruit. This prophecy has been at least partially fulfilled and fulfilled both literally and symbolically. Today, the land of Israel, which has been barren for centuries, is a leading producer of agricultural products, exporting food to so many different countries. The prophecy is also fulfilled symbolically with the worldwide spread of what? Christianity. Christianity began with Yeshua HaMashiach in Israel, and it now has about 2 billion followers worldwide. There are many prophecies that have been fulfilled today by Israel, proving that we are indeed in the time of the end, to brings us to what we should speak about tonight. Because now that we're in the time of the end, there are so many other things that this is the reason we bring this up, folks, is that we're showing you that the prophet said that Israel would come back and be in the land, but all things would come to pass once that starts. That time clock, Israel is that time clock. Once that time clock starts, all things would come back to pass. And so now we're seeing those different things. Back to see, let's see if Omega Man has a comment, and then we can go on with some other stuff.
You know, I agree that God is going to keep his word, and his promise is to restore the people to the land. They begin to do that. Coming back after the end of World War II, Israel reestablished as a nation, in 1948? And, you know, the devil's not happy about it. He has not stopped since then to try to destroy God's people. Even today, with 100,000 or so rockets, I can't even conceive that many, but it's true, are aimed against Israel right now by Hamas, Iran, the PLO, the haters of Israel. And, folks, if you don't love Israel, you don't love the Jewish people, then that means you don't love Jesus.
Right.
You don't love his word. He's coming back to rule and reign from Mount Zion. There's a lot of people using the word Zion as a dirty word. They're trying to blame all the world's problems on, quote unquote, the Zionist conspiracy, which is a bunch of bull crap. And that really tells me where people's hearts are. Again, if you don't love Jesus and you don't love Israel, you're not going to be there with me and Brother Dan, Sister Linda in the new millennial reign. You'll be in hell.
Yeah, amen.
Because all those who turn against Israel, God will turn against you. God's going to keep this plan, and the American church has not replaced Israel. No, we've been grafted in. If you're not Jewish,
right.
Around the world, wherever you live, you've been grafted in. And thank God for that opportunity. But it says, boast not against the branches. And just as God made a way for the Gentile to be saved, he's also wants to use the Gentiles to bring the Jews back in, to provoke them to jealousy, and graft us all in, Jew and Gentile, believer and Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ in English. And if you don't like that vision of living with the Lord in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, in Israel, then live for the devil, because that's where you're going to go and join him in hell. And I'm not going to can't be any straighter than that. Those that hate Israel, Brother Dan, Sister Linda, have a spirit of Adolf Hitler in them. They just may not know it yet. Praise God, we have a demon hotline they can call into, because we'll cast that devil out in the name of Jesus if they want to be free. Back to you.
Yeah, amen. You're absolutely right that about Hitler. I mean, you know, it's the spirit of evilness. Who can you be for? You either got to be for Yahweh or you got to be for the devil. I mean,
Right. Even
unknowingly, I'm not saying every person that is walking the planet that isn't saved isn't of the devil, but when you don't have the spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit within you, then you can be easily directed in that direction. But, you know, one of the signs that we're seeing that's it's a drawback is
Torah.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife says Torah. So what do you think when you were a kid? What did you think about the whole Bible? Was it complicated? And did you seem like you changed in the recent future? I mean,
I've always had the Bible in me. It's just I went astray for a few years and went wild. But it's always, once you learn something, it's always there. It's a personal choice whether you want, which way you want to go. I mean, everybody has different choices, and not everybody's choices are the same. But, yeah, you need to choose the path of God if you want to survive what's coming.
Well, let me ask you that in a different manner. Do you not think that we're seeing more people drawn back to what the Christians call the Old Testament than just trying to stay in the New Testament?
Around me, a lot of people are going back to Hebrew roots, yeah, and that is Torah, learning the Torah and the ways of the Lord, and doing away with the worldly holidays and all the things of the world and the eating of the pork and all that.
Okay.
So, yeah, they are coming to the Torah.
And you didn't see that when you was a child, did you?
No, I knew nothing about it. I was doing the Christmas and the Easter and the eating the pork and all that.
Okay, so there's my point. See, in the end time, the word says that we will be drawn back to Torah. It says that we'll grab on the tzitzit of the Jew and we'll say, surely, you know Yahweh, because our forefathers have handed us lies.
Right.
And so that's my point. And you just answered it unknowingly where I was trying to get to with it. You answered it. Yeah. In your youth, you didn't see that. You just went to Christian church and you did all the Christian type things. But now you're seeing a broader escalation of going back to what we're calling the Hebrew roots. But it is actually, you know, that's where we're grafted into.
Actually, and if you want to take it a little bit further, what I'm seeing is what was preached in the church when I went to Sunday church was, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do that, homosexuality is bad, and all of those things are recognized as normal now in the world. So, yeah, it's completely...
As normal,
there
goes my heart. But
right.
That is true. Demonic behavior, you know, in the time of the end, we realized that demonic behavior would become as normal. Why don't you tell them what Isaiah 5:20 says, Murder?
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness before light and light before darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
You know, we're seeing in just the words that you said, you're seeing adultery. Well, it's commonplace and accepted. And even look at these marriages. It's even on TV and everything that, oh, we have open marriages, or we bring five other people into our
threesomes, foursomes, men on men, women on women. Yeah, it's crazy. It's supposed to be one man and one woman, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Beth and Sue or whatever.
Beth and Sue. Okay, but it's absolutely right. But it's demonic behavior classified as normal. But what we do see is we could go down a list of things. In fact, I've got a short list over here. I'm not going to say them all, but I'm just going to point to a couple of them. Homosexuality, bestiality, idols, materials used to make idols, blemished sacrifices, worshiping the sun, divination, astrology, enchanter, witches. The list goes on and on. But the point is, these are all things that the Father hates, but these things are all considered normal
in society.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Shannon? Are you seeing demonic behavior rising?
Brother, it's everywhere. People are manifesting. Even have some
friends.
I think
that Isaiah 5:20 just jumped right out of the pages, didn't it?
Yes, ma'am. We are clearly in some crazy times. In fact, I have some friends that I've got to pray for because I think some of them may be losing their minds.
I'm into that.
God help us.
Yeah, and you go losing your mind. You look at these people. You look at people, and you just got to wonder. You know, what are you thinking of? You know, it's like you said. You think, well, are you losing your mind? That's good. That's okay to do those things. But there's the point. They don't even know they don't know any better. Why do you think that they don't know any better?
They've never been taught the real truth. They've never been led to the Torah and the Lord and the truth and the Word.
But well,
they've been led astray.
Well, let me go backwards. I got you on something here. You write a good path to take. Okay. Well, you said in your youth, when you were in the Christian church, that they preached against these things. So now they must not be preaching against these things. So then wouldn't you call that a falling away?
A falling away and a made an acceptability.
Right. But the key word is the word said that there would be a
falling away.
Amen. And so we're seeing that while people talk about, you know, they talk about how Christianity is expanding greatly all over the world. A lot of people accept that simple act. They say, well, you know, just, and the word does say, anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord Yeshua, the same shall be saved. But they don't read the rest of the word. Then you truly are supposed to die and become born again. The old self is supposed to go away. There becomes a new reborn self. Well, but then that reborn person is supposed to crave for things that are right and supposed to leave the old things behind. And how are they supposed to find that out? Well, you know, James and the rest of the group there of apostles, you know, there in Jerusalem were a little bit worried about it themselves. They said, well, look, these guys are just being saved. The Holy Spirit's coming upon them. They're instantly being saved. What shall we do? What shall we do? Well, what they decided is they really only needed to tell the new believers, that the Gentiles is what we're talking about, they only needed to tell them not to do the things that kept them from being able to get into the temple to hear what? The Torah being read, because they said, for Moses is being preached in every city. And so that's what they would do. They would go and they would learn Torah. Torah is the instruction, and it would teach them right for wrong. You know, Shannon, so many people have it wrong. They think that it's such a legal thing, you know, and that, oh, you're being so legal, you're going to bind me with so many things. But if you do indeed read and absorb the Torah, it's not bad at all. And it's not like it's 10,000 different rules. It's just common sense things that it tells you, like, hey, don't have sex with mom and dad. don't have sex with
aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins
and so on and so forth. Oh, don't eat things that were can be harmful to the body. Those unclean things like crayfish and catfish and all that. Why don't we eat those?
Those were created to clean the waters.
They were created
to eat all the other good clean fishes and their own thing that go through them, you know, and go out into the water. They were created to eat that stuff. So when you eat them kind of things, you're eating that all the sewage and stuff that they eat off the bottom of the, so that's why God said don't eat them.
I think you called it one time poopy fish.
That's what I called shrimp.
Anyway, but there's the point. You know, the Father created everything for a time and a purpose. But that doesn't mean we should eat all things. I mean, you know, you don't eat bad mushrooms because it's poison. You know what I'm saying? The point is you eat those things, you're eating everything that was regurgitated out because they're bottom feeders. They're there to clean. It's just like a pig. They're there to clean up things. Pig will eat anything you throw into the pen with
I got something that was pointed out to me about pigs yesterday because I've always heard people, they've always said, well, if you eat chicken, it's just as bad as a pig because chickens eat everything. They eat their own stuff and all that, you know. Well, Craig pointed out to me yesterday that the reason why chickens as queen and fish and pigs are not is because pigs don't sweat. They don't sweat nothing out. Chickens sweat it out. It runs through their system. So it goes through. And the Lord said you could eat the chicken. So the Lord knew what he was doing. So who is anybody to question the Lord? He said, don't eat pig, don't eat it.
Right. But and I like that where you said we could eat the chicken, but you know, cause he made the chicken. He should know, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, But there's the point, and that's not being legalistic. Even science now, if you look at science now agrees with the Bible. When you look at honest scientists look at a biblical diet, but let's just talk about pigs for a moment. Pigs are one of the number one leading causes of stomach cancer, and that's because of not necessarily the pig in and of itself, but the pig isn't of itself. The pig is, everything the pig eats is a part of the pig.
Right.
And it doesn't, and they don't even digest 100% of all their food. Here's the big deal. Part of their food, it doesn't get completely digested. That means that's why you can get diseases from them. You know, they pat the worms and things that they eat, they pass right on to you if you eat it. If you don't cook it all away, then those worms will be part
and
of
even
you.
If you do cook it all away, you can still get worms from it.
Well, I don't know that to be true, but it's eating pork that's not cooked all the way technically is where it comes from. But you know what? Pork worms are one of the number one leading causes of death in the southwestern part of the United States. And that's because it's brought in from immigrants. Let's go like that. Immigrants. Now you got me saying it. Illegals and such and forth. Because let's go like this. In Mexico and a lot of those other countries, you know, they don't have the same kind of hygiene as we do for one. Now, you know, so what do they hire? These people come in. They have bad hygiene and they come in and we hire them as what? Maids and mm-hmm. such. And people in restaurants, so they handle their food handlers. And so when they don't wipe their own, you know, very good, and they've already got worms from down there in their country from eating pork and all these things that aren't clean, and they come up here, and this is a scientific thing that I read that
article, uh-huh.
Yeah, and so then they transfer it to the food. In fact, there was a Jewish community, and actually, you're probably the article you're talking about. There was a Jewish community. They couldn't figure out how these the young Jewish boys and girls were getting pork worms. They couldn't figure it out because they ate
they
clean.
Pork,
they couldn't
yeah.
figure out how they were doing it. Well, it came down to it. They finally figured it out. It was coming from the maids that this community were hiring, maids and cooks that they were doing, and it was transferred from them to the other by what? The preparation of food.
Right.
So, you know, there ain't, you know, I love street tacos, but I don't love them so much anymore, you know.
Not after all that stuff. I don't even stop at those taco trucks no more. No way. And I cringe. I have to be very picky at the Mexican restaurants I go to. There's two that I've went to ever since my mom took me when I was younger. Those are the two I try to stick to.
Now, we're talking about real ones. We're not talking about places like Taco Tico and stuff
like
that.
No, I'm talking about where you go in, get chips and sauce, and order the real Mexican food, and yeah.
Right, and I have nothing against anybody from any country or whatever. I do have a problem against anybody coming into my country illegally. That's an invasion. But my point is this is a health issue. And so, you know, we have to watch these things. And if we'd simply do what the word says, we'd be much healthier, live longer. And he put it there because he loved us. He warned us. And he didn't tell us all about, no, the Father didn't point out all the little microbes and everything to us, but how could an ancient mind understand microbes and all that? So he said, hey, it's unclean, don't do it. Let's give Shannon a minute to talk.
You know, I agree with you. We got to be very careful what we eat. And the fact is, pork is a harborer of a lot of worms and parasites. Folks, and yeah, I grew up eating a lot of ham living in the South. I think what it was is people were so poor back then that they tended to gravitate towards the foods that were more plentiful. Pork, you know, shrimp for seafood, crab legs. You know, people love that stuff in the Deep South. And you eat enough of it, you begin to look like a pork. Bishop of North Georgia.
I don't know how they eat
just
those crawfish. That is just
saying.
Beyond me. Those are nasty.
But, you know, we used to eat it so much that my grandmother would make these ham sandwiches on Wonder white bread and add a lot of mayonnaise, and they would always stick to the roof of my mouth, and I'd have to put my finger up there and scrape the ham off the top of my mouth.
I remember them days.
You remember that? I'm not the only one there.
No,
I'm not
you're
going
not.
To lie to you, though.
I remember those.
I do break down and have some pepperoni pizza. But I prefer beef. You can get beef pepperoni if you look for it. You love bacon, try the turkey bacon. Turkey bacon is awesome. I can't tell the difference. But
turkey pepperoni is awesome, too.
It really is. But, folks, you know, do you want to eat the scavengers or not? You know, God didn't create us to eat certain food that are scavengers. Those are the garbage cleanup crews. And like
they are. That's exactly what they are.
Natives.
Let's go with it. We'll switch to something else for a second here. Mom, I want you to read this. I don't need
was he done?
Was he done?
I
wanted
Dan?
To say one more thing. The natives, they laughed at the white man. They said, those white men are crazy. I'm just paraphrasing. They said the fish poop, the shrimp eat the poop, and then the white man, they eat the shrimp.
Yeah, that's
poop.
Why I called them poopy fish.
Just saying, you know, and also I want to say that those lobster are in the same genus as the cockroach. So literally they are water cockroaches. Back to you.
They look like one too, don't they? Giant cockroach.
I'm not
going to
lie, though.
Oh, my.
They do taste good in butter, but that doesn't mean it's good for you.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I wouldn't know, Shannon. I've never ate one.
Hey, but hey, on another note, there is places, and I'm not sure where, but I know there is such thing as chocolate cockroaches.
Ooh.
Yeah. People eat. Okay.
Okay, let's
high in protein.
Moving right along.
Proverbs 6. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deceiveth. Wicked imaginations. Deviseth. Well, deviseth, yeah, that is what it is. Wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Okay, amen. So these are six things that the Father hates, according to Proverbs. And Solomon, he ought to know. I mean, you know, Solomon, I hoped he learned something before he went, because he did write some good portions of the Word. But, you know, I mean, he was noted for the man that had more wives than anybody else in history.
Well, he wrote the books of love in the Bible, right?
Well,
yeah.
Amen. Anyway, but Proverbs 6 here, what I want to talk about is hands that shed innocent blood. Now, right now, in the United States, it has went nuts. The United States is doing things that in other parts of the world, countries, even in Muslim countries, they think it's crazy. They're slaughtering children. I mean, but now these people have went berserk on the liberal side or the other side of the aisle, they're okay with killing a child. They say it's not a child until we say it's a child. They wait till the baby, they say even after the baby, if it actually is born during an abortion, that they have a right to still kill it, make it comfortable for a while until the mother decides if they want to kill it or not.
Yes.
That is murder. Where has it gotten that these people could even conceive that something that is alive out of the womb could be put to death? You understand what I'm saying? And those are sacrifices to the devil. We're seeing one thing many things have happened because of Trump, but what I'm saying, since Trump has came into office, or dear President Trump has came into office, it's been a revealing, and that's what I call it. The revealing is happening because you see people, things that they used to keep hidden are no longer hidden. And they spew these things like it's okay. And to the murder of a child, I mean, it's murder in the womb, but it shows their wickedness when they say, well, it, you know, out of the womb.
And the mother can decide whether she wants it to be alive or dead after it's already been born laying on a table. That's just sick. That's murder. Murder, 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 murder.
Right. And we do, you know, prayerfully, some of these things that they are going, there's some cases because there's a couple of states that passed some new laws. I think it was, I don't know if it was Alabama or Georgia, but one of the states, because a lot of them are doing it. They passed a heartbeat law, and it's so after 6 weeks is when you can hear the heartbeat of a child. And they passed a heartbeat law, signed it into law that says that they cannot have an abortion after you can hear the heartbeat, and if so, that if you do it, you'll be charged with murder. So we know that's going to be challenged, and we know that it will have to go to the Supreme Court. So prayerfully, that our Supreme Court will indeed reverse Roe versus Wade, which would be a dramatic thing. But beyond that, I want you to look at the evil hearts of these people. And if you're listening, I don't know, you may be listening in many countries of the world because I know our audience is all over the world and I know Shannon's is too. But here in America, I'm basically talking to you folks. If you're a Christian or you claim to be of Yeshua, you claim to be a Jesus Christ, how could you ever vote for anybody that is okay with abortion? Because when you do that, you're sanctioning murder. And murder is not something that, you know, in fact, it doesn't, the Ten Commandments doesn't say do not kill, it says thou shalt not do murder. And that is murder when you murder an innocent child. You're murdering a saint of God. There's that. Because a child is innocent. Their soul is innocent. And so.
Yeah, they never chose to be created, so they are innocent until they can understand the difference between right and wrong. They're innocent. They're a God's child.
So what you're murdering a saint, and this is a sacrifice to Satan and the devil. This is, he said you shouldn't put the children through, you know, I'm paraphrasing, to Moloch. And Moloch was the god, which is just another form of Baal worship, which is Satan worship. If you go, we don't have time to go through all that. But the point is so it's a sacrifice to Satan and the devil. And Satan's laughing about it, and he's egging it on. But you see all that hatred and evil is coming out of these people. When was it ever okay? Listen to all the vulgarity that these politicians and different people use. You know, I had a friend, and I won't mention names, an acquaintance, not really a friend. He's really proud of this book he wrote about, and it's Bubba's old boss. Anyway, wrote, and, you know, it was about how he thought about how relationships with God should be and so on. And, you know, from the little bit that I read of it, he was kind of getting it right, but he couldn't refrain from using that F word written in a book and then thought it was okay to try to promote that for other people to read. In fact, he had gave that book to somebody that was right across from the church and he showed it to me the other day and he said, hey, this guy said he even knows you. And I said, yeah, he's an idiot. And I said, no, I repent. He's not really an idiot. But what he says, what his usage of that book is idiotic. He thinks it's okay to use vulgarity to try to win souls. And, you know, the guy said, well, he didn't even want to read the book after that, you know. Of course. But you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that this person is ultimately evil, but something has got into this system that people think vulgarity and, oh, yes, all these things that you always said was wrong, they're saying is all right and good.
It's a fairy tale book. It's not real. It's just something somebody wrote in a book.
Oh, that's what they say. Yeah. You know, but that's it's rebellion against the word. So we're seeing two different things. We're seeing open rebellion to the Father's word, but we're also seeing another thing, people being drawn to Torah, being drawn to the instructions. And folks, that's what the Torah is. The Torah is instructions. If you ask a Muslim, you say, what's the Torah? They'd say, oh, well, that's the instructions. You know, if you ask a Jew, what is it? They'd say, well, it's the instructions. It's not, they don't call it the law. They call it the book of instructions because it tells us, it gives us guidelines on how we might live. It was given to us. We know it was from it is. You know, there, even the ancient copies of the Torah, and you compare them to the copies now today, there's just minor little tiny grammatical type errors in the book, but not anything of the meaning. It was given to us a very long time ago, and it is still today. It's still sound doctrine. And that's what the word says, that people would run from sound doctrine.
Well, and a lot of it's been proven by history, by artifacts, and they found so much stuff that proves everything in there is true, so
right.
I don't get it. Even Ron Wyatt found wagon wheels and stuff in the Red Sea that where they crossed and got drowned. So he found all kinds of stuff in there. Remember, he found that little urn, he found a whole wagon wheel and all kinds of stuff they found over there.
Right.
So it's real. The Bible is real. And you can, if you're living in today, right now, in this world, right now, if you can't see them jumping right out of that book coming to life, then I don't know what to tell you.
And
that book is coming to life.
You know what? And that's what Ron said. He said these things that he found was from the Father, preserved till this time of the end, so that they would come out at that time to prove to the unbelievers what was going on. And which brings us to a favorite.
And he's not the other one, your friend that went over there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Yeah.
Well, right now, Joel Richardson, and he is still there. We need to pray for him. Dear Heavenly Father, protect Joel while he's there in Yeshua's name, get him back safely. But he is in Saudi Arabia right now with his friends, unless he got back, and I don't know, but I haven't got any text from him. But he is there, and they are trying to make a film that will be a major production film in that will come out in movie theaters explaining the real Mount Sinai and the Red Sea crossing and all these things that have been preserved for us.
Amen.
For this time, and they're doing it right now. So, folks, you're going to, if you can sure go right now on YouTube or go to joelstrumpet.com, you can find links to the various Mount Sinai things, but there's going to be a major one coming. Did you, by the way, did Joel ever, wait a minute, Shannon, did Joel ever make it to your program?
We did not get him on yet. We did link up one time on email and never heard from him again, but I hadn't pursued it again. I will. Because I want to get him back, especially with the fact he's gone on this recent trip again, to get even more than last time. What he got last time was just amazing.
Amen.
Never before has a person sent a drone up over Mount Sinai to film that area.
Right?
I mean, that's pretty amazing, flying over it with a drone.
Yeah.
We are live with Pastor Dan and Linda Ketlin of Messiah's Branch. The Prophecy
Hour.
Well,
let's put it this Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, let's put it this way. It's better for the drone to get shot down than for him.
Well, but right. They were right there controlling it. The last time they was there, they did even get shot at when they were trying to get out of there away. Because, you know, while they do get a visa to be, you know, to be there in Saudi Arabia, they don't have a visa to be
photographic
there.
And take.
Well, Mount Sinai is, it is fenced in.
Right.
You know, after Ron went there, and they put Ron in jail for a few days. In fact, you know, that was an evil thing in the sense that Ron, there was another fellow that, and I won't name names, but I know who it was supposed to go with Ron and his sons to go to Mount Sinai. And, he didn't make it for whatever reason. And so he actually turned in Ron and his sons and said they were there to spying for the CIA, and that's how Ron got arrested and put in jail. Well, you know, for an outcry or whatever, the father delivered him and allowed him and got him loose. So that's all we need to know.
Who falsely accused him is dead. I think he died horribly. You know, that was a true man of God, Ron Wyatt, and he was the first that went over there and documented it. And then, you know, later others followed in, and they didn't give him proper credit. But then, of course, you had the family that were involved in the construction project, the Caldwells or something. I forget the names, but
Caldwells. That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
You got to see it extensively. And then there's also a guy who was I believe he was a Korean doctor to one of the royal family.
Yeah.
He also was a third witness. Came back with some amazing stuff. Now, this stuff that Joel's doing is just amazing with this new technology we got. So I'm excited to hear what happens when he comes back. And I heard that the Crown Prince was thinking about taking that whole region over there and turning it into some resort area.
Okay, I can tell you that. What's going on is real close to there, I suggest everybody read Joel's book about the Babylons, but anyway, he is building a city, and the city is going to be bigger than New York. It's going to be a huge place, and it's, you know, it's almost along lines with the Jetsons. He wants to build a city that, because that prince is wanting to open up the country, and he has been doing some other reforms, you know, within Saudi Arabia, not as many as we'd like by far, but he is doing some reforms, and in fact, now women can actually drive cars over there where they weren't able to before, and that's because of him. But he is going to make that the area, and it's real close to Mount Sinai, and in fact, there's somebody that sent an alarm bell that they were going to tear it down Mount Sinai. No, Mount Sinai will become accessible to the public because of this huge, huge state city that they're going to build that's almost going to be like the Jetsons and everything. It's going to be a wonder of the world. And so, yeah, you are correct in that, and that is in the planning stages. Back to you.
That'll be great. And to be able to see more come out of that area, it's just amazing. You know, God has been able to preserve these places that we're now just finding out about where people thought before. You know, hey, the Bible wasn't real because we don't see these other landmarks that are supposed to be over there where the Catherine Church is, you know, in Egypt. I believe that the best is yet to come in terms of information out of that area. So I'd love to have him on the program when he comes back. And I want to thank you for the introduction.
I'll point it out to him again. You know, you just got to follow up with him, you know, get him. He agreed he'd come on the program, but he's a busy guy, you know. The reason I get him fairly easily is just, you know, we have a relationship that goes way back to when he wrote his first book with Walid Shubat. And then it goes back to the radio program. Now, a lot of these guys that I've had on several times and many, many times over the years, a lot of them kind of got the first time they ever even touched radio was on my radio program. You know, and I've built relationships with a lot of people over the years. And one, you know, I consider Joel a friend and we have a relationship. So it's pretty easy for me to get on. You want to say something?
Yeah, I want you to tell him about, I remember Ron Wyatt. He's the one that also discovered the Ark of the Covenant. And I remember the conversation we was talking to him about it. And you asked him, well, what did it feel like when you first found it? He said, I don't know. I passed out.
Yeah. That was the one thing, yeah, and that was at the Prophecy Club meeting when we saw him in person. That wasn't on radio, but that was on and that was before actually I had started radio, but that was about the first meeting that I saw Stan in Wichita, and it was the first time that I helped carry out stuff that Ron had all these things sitting around, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, I want to know one thing, and he's, what's that? I said, well, what happened? I mean, you know, when you saw the Ark of the Covenant and you realized what it was, What happened? He said, that's easy. I passed out.
Yeah, he said, how'd you feel? What did it make you feel? I don't know. I passed out.
Yeah, so that, you know, it convinced me. But in fact, after that meeting, I was literally could barely just mumble for a few days because I was, here was all these stories, you know, whether it was Mount Sinai, the Red Sea crossing, the Ark of the Covenant, Yeshua's death.
Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark. All of these things that
Sodom,
you know,
and Gomorrah.
Right, that I had read about. He proved them to me.
Yeah, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
To me, without a shadow of a doubt. And I did. I couldn't do anything but mumble for a few days. And yeah, I know it's real. And you know what, Shannon? You have so many people, and I've noticed all over the internet, you know, they're trying to say, oh, well, the real Mount Sinai now that they're claiming isn't real, and they start to give a whole bunch of reasons without really debunking the evidence that Joel Richardson has put forth in his book. But the big thing that they neglect, don't address, and they can't debunk is all of the stuff at Mount Sinai that's there.
Yes.
Is all of the things that should be there if indeed it were Mount Sinai. You get what I mean? The altar.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the rock and so on.
The split rock. All the Hebrew hieroglyphics, you know, all the graffiti over there that is not Arabic. It's came from Israel. And, I mean, all the stones, everything, the bitter springs is there, the palm trees, everything that the Bible said would be there on the way from, you know, going across the Gulf of Aqaba, including the monuments that King Solomon erected. One of them is still standing. Amazing,
yeah.
You know, the chariots that have been found over there. I mean, that's the real deal, bottom line. And it's exciting to be able to see it. I would love to go over there and see it firsthand. It'd be pretty amazing.
I think you're gonna get that opportunity one day. I really do believe it. I really do believe it. Ron said it, not just because Ron said it, but you know, I'm listening to Joel, and you know, here's the thing about Joel Richardson. He's got a firsthand knowledge of the area. He knows people that lived in the area, and he has connections over there, and so he talks to people not just here but over there. And here's the other thing, and people, especially in the Western world, when they tend to look at Christianity as just them. You know, you need to look at Christianity as a whole and the world as a whole and quit looking at it just about as, you know, locally. So you need to look beyond locally. And, you know, hey, we're down a little further on the list over here in the West than where we think we are, so to speak. But anyway, hey, we're nearing the end of the program, so we take a couple minutes and talk about the mission church? Or
absolutely.
What do you
tell us
do?
About the mission.
Right. Okay. Well, we've been doing a mission church for 19 years. When do we start our 20th year?
The first day of the 20th year will be in the building, would be June 13th is the first day we fed in that new building.
In that building.
Yeah. June 13th will be, again, the 20th year.
Right.
But June of 2000 is when we fed our first meal.
Fed our first meal, too.
So June 1st in 2000, we fed our first meal.
Right. So
the first will be, again, our 20th year, but the 20th year in our new, you know, it wouldn't be our 20th year. It would be our 13th year in our new building.
Right. 13th year in a new building. We spent 7 years in another building.
7 years, 7 months, and 7 days.
Yeah, you planned that one, though.
I planned it because we got the building in January, but we had to do some repairs we weren't counting on doing, so it took us from January till June to get in there because we moved in the month after Mom passed. So.
Right.
And she passed in April of 2007, so we moved in June 13th of 2007.
Right, amen, and that was your mom, which helped us over there for a long time. And so, you know, we opened our doors, and anybody that can walk in, folks, you know, we'll help anybody that walks in the door. We don't ask whether you're homeless or whether you're poor or whatever. We just you just come in, if you go to the clothes closet, if that's what you need, you go in and sit down, you get served an egg sandwich, there's coffee, there's tea, there's other things. During that period of time, you know, they can ask for counseling, and they do, and they ask for many, many miracle prayers. We can't keep Bibles. We have given away so many Bibles. I used to try and count a long, long time ago, But we put them on the shelf and they're just gone almost instantly. And so, but folks, we do prefer, and we've said it before on radio, we prefer King James Version Bibles. And please try not to send micro print Bibles because, you know, a lot of these people don't have glasses or they've lost them, or just simply can't afford them. But, we've seen many, many miracles of various different things, with miracle prayers, whether it's, things like brain tumors healed and heart and cancer and those things healed by the prayers. And I can't go anywhere. Now this is where Shannon gets Wichita, Kansas. That's where our mission church is at 900 South Broadway in Wichita, Kansas. I just about can't go anywhere in the city to a Walmart or something without somebody yelling at me, "Hey, Pastor Dan." And, you know, they want to thank me for the prayers that we've given or the food that we've given or, you know, somebody will I've had people tap me on the shoulder in stores and say, "Hey, you remember me?" And, you know, turn around and it's the manager of the store and go, "No." And I thought, "Well, what did I do?" And they say, "Well, you know, you picked me up off the sidewalk. I was drunken and you picked me up off the sidewalk, literally carried me into the church and you ministered to me and fed me and it changed my life. And so now I'm a manager here at the store, you know."
It's just like family reunion twice a week.
Right,
every
right.
Tuesday, every Friday, they get a home-cooked meal, 4:30. We cook it right there on the day we serve. So.
Yeah, amen. Well, and so the reason for 2 days is because we live 60 miles from the Wichita Mission Church. And, you know, it's quite a journey. I mean, you know, really it's pretty dangerous, especially when we come home at night. We've had to get crash bumpers on our trucks because there's so many deer out there in the middle of the night as we come home that, you know, I don't know how many vehicles we've lost or had maimed because
of. And speaking
of
which, since we put our deer bumpers on, the only deer I see stop at the side of the road and look at you like, "Well, I'm not running in front of that truck."
See, that's proof positive. I think deers are a lot smarter than what they are. I think it's like, "Hey, there's Catlin, man. He got a bumper. We better leave him alone." Because I got hit by a deer just like 3 days before I put my bumper on. But folks, we help the homeless and poor. We help anybody that walks into the Mission Church. We are in one of the worst parts of Wichita, Kansas, but that's where we should be, shouldn't we? Among the sinners and among the poor. Oh, gee, I think Yeshua was doing the same thing.
Right.
And so that's where we're at. We help the homeless and poor. We're only open because of kind donations of people like even Will Shannon. I can say it. He said it before. Shannon has been a supporter for a very long time.
He helped on the remodel, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the only money I had in my pocket that day that we got that, made the deal for that building, was $300 that he had sent me.
Uh-huh.
And that's what helped us seal the deal. But the point is that we do rely on your donations. Now, folks, if you want to help, you can donate online or over the telephone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information where?
At prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Spelling just like it sounds, prophecyhour.com.
Yeah, and like I tell people, like prophecy and then houroftheday.com. So check us out. At that place, you can find a link to all the different things and the radio programs. We do live radio on Thursdays. I do 2 one-hour programs, one at 5 p.m. Central and one at 7 p.m. Central on the first program. My wife graces us with her presence 3 days, times a month. 1 month, or this month, though, you're going to the food bank tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she goes and helps out at the local food bank where we're at.
I do want to say that if you want to help financially, that's always a help, a blessing, a real blessing for me. But we're coming up on our 20th year, and we're going to plan some kind of special event for the people. I've got my sister-in-law who's trying to find us a couple bands, and we're going to do probably just going to do something simple like hamburgers on the grill and potato salad and let them listen to music outside and under the awning for a few hours. I think we're going to do 4 hours. You're going to get 2 bands. So if you want to help with that special event, just send a donation to market for the event. And
yeah, market event. And it's just like we ask people to donate to radio. If you donate to radio, make sure you mark it as radio.
Right.
Otherwise,
it goes into general fund for the bills.
Bills and for the food and
oh yeah.
What it goes into the fund for the greatest need.
For Messiah's Branch, exactly.
But yeah, bills, you say, well, of course, you know, the church has electric, gas, and all those things. This office has, I have to pay internet, you know, so on and so forth. So it has bills just like everything else. Did we miss anything else you want to know, Shannon? Or
one more time, okay. How do they listen to the Prophecy Hour radio show?
Okay, you go to prophecyhour.com, and there, anyway, it tells you how to, there will be a thing that says listen to live radio. You can click on that. Or if you still go over there afterwards, there's a link that says In Time Radio Archives, and you click on that, and it'll take you to our podcast site. That because it is live radio, but about an hour and a half after the program, we take that program and put it out as a podcast. Actually, it's radio archives that were made for radio, but everybody calls the archives now podcasts, so that's where we're at with that. And, yes, you can listen on YouTube, too.
Fantastic.
And you can go to directly to American Voice Radio, too, and listen, right?
Right, at AmericanVoiceRadio.com at 5 p.m. Central, and you'll hear us. And then again at 7 p.m. Central, you'll hear us. Okay, let him talk.
I want to encourage everybody to tune in. Brother and Sister Catalin, we love you. Thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
All right, you be blessed, brother. Goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom to you both.